If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. We have been in the Gospel according to Luke for some time, and I did not want to disrupt the flow of Luke this morning. Yes, what is it? Did I miss something? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I tell you, you got a lot on your mind. We want to make sure that we're prayerful for the Hubbard family. Sister Rosie Hubbard was an anchor at this church. She was a walking demonstration of faith. Faith on display. It never mattered what was going on in her life. She was always, always positive. She took her journey home this week. And we plan to have her services this weekend. Rosalind, family, we want you to know that we're prayerful for you. And we're with you. And we pray God's richest blessings on you. Your mom has already deposited in your life everything you need to continue on. So all you have to do is pull on all that has been deposited, and you'll get through this. There will be a void because you've been close to her for a long time. I understand more about that void, okay, because there are times I say, man, I wish I could call Pop. But I understand that. But God gives us peace anyway, and he'll give you peace. Amen? Amen. So God bless you. God bless you. And thank you guys for reminding me, because I had just totally forgot about that. We've been talking about Luke. On last time, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about being overconfident and underprepared, if you remember anything about that. And it led us to the point of Jesus going through the ceremonial service of the Passover, his final Passover, his last Passover, and got to the point to where he was acknowledging that Simon, Peter, was a struggle. And he's about to face a struggle. If you remember the narrative, Peter declared that he was willing to go to prison. He'd even die for Jesus. However, Jesus told him, say, I'm praying for you. That when you overcome this, he didn't say, I'm praying for you not to go through this. And that's a point that you really can't miss. Being the master, being the savior, he could have prayed for Peter not to go through it. What better way to make sure he doesn't fall is to not allow him to go through the thing that may cause him to fall. But he didn't pray for him not to go through it. He said, when you go through, I'm praying that your faith will recover. And when it recovers, that you'll strengthen others. And there are some things that you just have to go through. And they ain't always pretty. But they are essential to get to where God wants you to be. You never know how strong you are until you go through some. You just never know how strong you are. And sometimes we think we're stronger than we actually are. And that is not revealed to you until you go through something. Peter didn't know. He thought sitting there with Jesus, oh, no, I'm going to die for you. I'll die for you. I'll go to jail for you. I'm with you all the way. And he thought, and he really believed that he would do all of those things. But that was before he was in the moment. There's moments that until you are in the moment, you have no idea how you're going to fare until you get in the moment. There are some moments that you have to go through. And I know you think you got it. But that's before you get to the moment. I know you think and believe you know how to handle it. You've already gone through your mind what you're going to say and what you're going to do. But you haven't got to the moment. And you don't know what you're going to do until you get to the moment. Peter got to the moment. And it was a different story than what he thought. And so we find him in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 39. And he came out from the house where he told the disciples to go and follow a man carrying something. Follow him to his house and tell him the master has need to have the Passover there. They're just leaving there. It's about a 15-minute walk from where they were to the place they're going right now. And the Bible says, and he came out and went. It's dark now, somewhere about 11, maybe 12 midnight. It's late in the night. But Passover was something that was celebrated all the time. And it was a celebration that it didn't end. And the people were accustomed during Passover to be up late. That was nothing unusual because you had to eat all of the sacrificial lamb. You had to do all the things that were necessary. And it was a celebration. And so now they're leaving, and Jesus is leaving with Peter, James, and John. The Bible says, and he came out and went. And as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and he prayed. He said this, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Luke records, and he's the only one records this, that there appeared an angel unto him. Mark doesn't say anything about that, and John doesn't say anything about that, but Luke says there appeared an angel unto him from heaven that started strengthening him. And Mark talks about how he went to them three times and came back and encouraged them, but Luke, his narrative is more straight to the point, and the fact is that Jesus is going through a hard time, and his disciples that were supporting him weren't able to withstand. And he's being in agony. In an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. His sweat. And when he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. Sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I want to use as a subject this morning, Gethsemane. Gethsemane. We sing a song a lot of times during our communion. It's a song I often sing in private myself. It's a song that really speaks to my spirit. Gethsemane. Oh, what a wondrous love I see freely shown for you and me. By the one who did atone. Now this really speaks to me. Jesus to show his matchless grace. Jesus suffered for the race in Gethsemane alone. Go to verse 2. Tarry, he told the three. Tarry here and watch for me. But they heard no bitter moan, for the three. Loving Savior wept in Gethsemane alone. I love this verse. Listen. Longing, oh Lord, was he weeping there for you and me. For our sins. He knew all about our sins. Knew every sin that we had. We ought to love him. You ought to love him. You ought to love him for the anguish that he bore in Gethsemane alone. Now, oh, what love. Matchless love. Can you see the love? Oh, what love. For me was shown. Now listen. His. I'm going to be his forever. I'm gonna be his forever. I'm gonna be his forever. For the love he gave to me yeah. Yeah, we speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms. He went into the Mount of Gethsemane. He knew he was going to the Mount of Gethsemane. He knew what was to happen at the Mount of Gethsemane. And there are some times when you know it is unavoidable for you to face the trial that you have in your life. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. You can't ignore it any longer. You cannot avoid it. You must face Gethsemane. And so Jesus walks to Gethsemane. He's been there before, but never like this. It's not his first time going there, but he's never gone there like this. And he takes some people with him, but they can only go so far. And when you are in your Gethsemane, I know you want people to understand what you're going through. I know you want them to empathize with what you're going through. I know you want them to stand with you, but what you're going through. But there are some times in your life where nobody can go with you. In your Gethsemane, nobody can walk up that with you. You can have folk around you, but they still don't understand what you're going through. They can be right there with you, but they still don't get what you're going through because it's yours. It's your Gethsemane. It's your Gethsemane. When he came to the place, he told them, pray that you enter not into temptation. If there's a prayer that God's folk ought to pray more often, instead of praying for some more stuff, instead of praying that you move my obstacles, instead of praying that you remove my enemy, instead of praying that I get this, instead of praying for that, you need to pray that you don't fall into temptation. Temptations come to everyone at various times. Everybody is subject to be tempted. And I know when you're in the point of feeling good, you think you're going to handle the temptation. But you don't know till you get in the moment. You don't know what you're going to do until you're in the moment of the temptation. So before you get to the temptation, you need to pray that you don't fall when you're tempted. Because everybody is going to be tempted. And when you go through the temptation, you got to pray before it. Pray that you don't fall. When you enter into it, and everybody has a moment where they are going to face a great temptation. This temptation that Jesus is talking about is not the average temptation. This temptation is of the sort, that if you fall in this, it's possible you may not spiritually recover after this fall. A lot of temptations that we go through. But then there's a temptation that can take you to a place where if you ain't careful, you may never recover from this temptation. It ain't a normal temptation. It's a special temptation. You see, everybody goes through temptation and you deal with it and you come on back and say, okay, got through that one. Everybody experiences some kind of trial. You deal with it and come on back and you got that one, okay. But there's a temptation that if you ain't careful, it has the potential to take you out spiritually. Jesus said, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that when you go through what you go through, it doesn't take you out. Because you got to go through this one. And I'm praying that you'll be able to withstand and recover from the temptation. There are some temptations that you go through that is necessary for you to have to recover from. It is of the not the normal sort. So pray, fellas. Pray that you fall not, enter not into this temptation. The Bible says he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. It's far enough to throw a stone, not a big rock. A stone. Okay? Stone's cast. And he kneeled down and Jesus started to pray. When you're in your Gethsemane, you need to know how to keep your connection with the Father open. That's not the time to not know how to talk to God. That's not the time to be wondering whether or not he gonna hear you. That ain't the time to be trying to figure out whether or not prayer has any help for you right now. You need to have a relationship with the Father before you get to Gethsemane so you can talk to the Father while you are in your Gethsemane. And if you don't have relationship with him before you get there, it's hard to call on him for help while you're in there. You need to have your relationship intact now before Gethsemane. Jesus had relationship with the Father. He didn't have to figure out coming into Gethsemane whether or not God was going to hear him. He wasn't doubting about whether or not God cared for him. He knew God cared for him even though he was going through and to Gethsemane. Jesus kneeled and he prayed. This was no silent prayer. This was no praying to yourself prayer. This was, he was crying aloud to his Father. He was saying it audibly. There are some times where you need to speak to God. You need to hear yourself say what you're saying to God. There are some times where you need to call on him audibly. You need to say it and not just. You need to call him. You need to say it. Jesus said, Father, because he was his Father. If, Father, if you're willing, I'm facing Gethsemane. You told me this is what we had to do to redeem mankind. I've done everything you asked me to do. But Father, if, because I'm looking at Gethsemane right now, I've been in this body a little while, I know what pain feels like. So Father, if you're willing, let this cup take it away. Drinking of this cup is going to cost me. So, Father, if you're willing, I'm asking, take it away. Don't let me do what I know we said I have to do. If you're willing. If you're only, Father, if you're willing. Because I'm asking you. The Bible says, he said, nevertheless, whenever you're in your Gethsemane and you're dealing with the situation
and it feels unbearable. And you have the ability to call on your God like you never called on him before. Father, you're asking him to take this cup, take you out of this situation, if he's willing. But very rarely have I been in a situation facing Gethsemane where I said, nevertheless, nevertheless, not my will, Father. But if it's your will for me to have to go through this whole Gethsemane, if you know there's something for me on the other side that I can't get until I go through this. If you know that my life is better as a result of me having to deal with this. Nevertheless, not my will.
Boy, you have to really grow in your spiritual walk with the Lord. To be able to tell God, nevertheless, nevertheless. You see, nevertheless means I'm willing to go through what I see in front of me as long as I know you're with me. As long as I know you're with me, I'm willing to go through it. So nevertheless, Father, if it be your will, if thy will, remove this from me, but nevertheless. And every child of God needs to learn how to have the courage to go with the Father, standing on nevertheless. Nevertheless, not what I want. How you get to a point in your life facing the most difficult time of your life and you're able to say, not what I really want is important. How you grow to the point to where your love and desire for God's kingdom makes you say, I know what I want, but I love you enough, if you're with me, to say, not my will, because I know you're with me, but your will is to be done. Doing and allowing God to do his will in our lives does not always look pleasant. Allowing God to do his will in our lives does not always seem fair. Allowing God to do his will in our lives doesn't mean you're going to feel good. What it means is you have relinquished the fight with God and you've said, God, I will go through it. With you, as long as I know you with me, as long as I know, you need to know he's with you. You need to know he's with you. No. You better know when you are going through the valley of the shadow of death. You better know that he's with you. You can't be wondering, I hope he's with me. I pray he's with me. He used to be with me. You better know when you're facing your Gethsemane that he's with you. And when you know that, you can say, not my will. But your will. will be done. There is something about the relinquishing of our will to God that puts us on a different plane. We rarely get to the plane where we have relinquished total control to God. And whatever he's going to bring you to and going to bring you through, you say, I'm ready to go. Ready to go with you. Because it's not my will. It ain't what I want. It ain't the way I see it. It ain't the way that works for me. Not my will, but thine. But if you can ever get there where you're able to say, not my will, but thine, there is another plane spiritually that you start experiencing that you can never experience until you surrender totally all your will while you're facing Gethsemane. The Bible says when he surrendered totally, Jesus said, now, Father, if you be willing now, if you got another way, put it on the table. Because I'm almost there. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine, your will be done. That's a total surrendering to God. In the midst of your most difficult time, that's total surrendering. To I don't know what's going to happen in the end, but Lord, your will, not mine. When he surrendered, the Bible says in verse 43, that then there appeared an angel unto him. God said, I hear you, son. I hear you. I know you're facing Gethsemane. I know. I know what you're about to go through. I know. And I wish there was another way, but it ain't. You got to go through this. However, so that you'll know that I'm with you, let me send you somebody to help you. Let me send you an angel to give you strength. God dispatched an angel from heaven real quick. He took the supersonic jet on down from glory, got to Jesus where he was, and started strengthening him. Don't worry, Jesus. It's going to be all right. Your Father loves you. He's going to give you what you need. Just go on and face him. Just go on and hang in there. Just do what you need to do. He sent me down here for you. It's going to be all right in the morning. It's going to be all right in the morning. Somebody going to get that next week. It's going to be all right in the morning. But you got to hang right now. And I'm giving you the strength you need. Am I helping anybody? Gethsemane. And the Bible says, with the strength of the angel, being in agony. I don't know if you've ever hurt to your soul. I don't know if you've ever felt a hurt that was to your soul. Not knowing how it's going to turn out. And you're hurt. And you know you can't ignore this. You got to deal with it. You got to go through it.
The angel is strengthening him. But Jesus still praying to his Father more earnestly. Luke doesn't say what the prayer is now. But whatever he's praying now, he's so intense in the prayer that the Bible says that sweat starts beating off his head like drops of blood falling. He's praying. He's shown off praying. The angel giving him courage. Pray, Jesus. He's praying. Talk to your Father. He's talking because he got the face. It will not pass. And he has to face it. The Bible says when he got up from prayer, now Mark and John talks about him coming back and finding the disciples asleep. Could you not pray with me for just an hour? I'm going through the most difficult time of my life. Could you not just pray for an hour? Do you not understand what's about to happen? And do you not know when you're in your Gethsemane and you're asking for prayers and you want people to pray with you and pray for you? Sometimes they just don't have the intensity. They care about you. They love you. They mean well. But they're not able to hang and really labor in prayer with you. They just don't know what to do about that. Could you not stay with me and pray? Mark and John says he was going back to them twice and every time. But Luke doesn't do that. He only talks about their disappointing him only once. When he rose up from prayer and he came to the disciples, he found them, he described, sleeping for sorrow. Roscoe, I looked up and I did a lot of studying on sleeping for sorrow. And I found that all of the weight that they had been enduring in hearing what Jesus was about to go through depressed them. It was heavy on their heart. Have you ever been so sad and so in despair that you want to stay focused? But you just can't keep your mind on it. And you find yourself, this is a critical time, but you find yourself just falling off. The burden of what Jesus had been telling them was weighing them so really that all they could do was just crash. They was used to being up in that hour. This wasn't anything new. This wasn't a different kind of Passover. Only difference is the Lamb of God is about to be offered. The Lamb is about to be offered. And they could not endure. So the Bible says that he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Why sleep you? Rise and pray." It's time, fellas. Rise. It's time. I'm going to it. God has given me what I need. So get on up. Let's go. It's time. The one that betrays me is on his way. It's time. Rise, but you need to keep praying.
Let me help you with something. The scripture that tells in Thessalonians that we ought to pray without ceasing or pray always. You need to be in constant communication with the Father, because any breach or break in the communication is subject to put you in jeopardy. The devil doesn't need much space, because he's always near. The devil doesn't need much room. So you better stay in prayer. It's hard for the devil to work on you while you're praying to God. Unless you're praying against somebody. Unless you're praying to God get somebody. But when you're praying for God to give you the strength to go through what you have to go through, when you're praying for God to give your will totally to Him, and that whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to stand with you. Whatever goes down, I'm going to be with you. Then God gives you strength. You're praying the right way, and you need to keep on praying. But since the disciples, they haven't reached that point. Peter didn't know what he was about to do. He thought he had it. You don't know what you're about to do until you're in the moment. But you better pray before you get in the moment that you do the right thing. Because when you're in the Gethsemane, the wrong thing in that moment can mean much more than you ever think. Can have consequences that can be disruptive to your life. Cause you to possibly fall away completely because you weren't ready for the Gethsemane. Anybody ever been through something and it took your faith aside, made you feel like you don't know if you're going to ever go back to church again? You don't know if you're going to ever trust God again? You don't know if you're going to ever have faith in Him again? You just went through your Gethsemane. And you probably wasn't praying that His will be done. Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Gethsemane. It's a special place that everybody has to go through. I want to suggest to you, church, we're facing Gethsemane. We're facing Gethsemane right now. And we better be praying. God's will be done. Not mine. Nevertheless, pray that the angels that God dispatches minister to our spirit and gives us comfort and strength so we're able to do what has to be done. And go through this Gethsemane and keep this people together so we don't injure one soul in the process. It's Gethsemane. It's Gethsemane. Oh, what love. Matchless love. Won't you stand? Oh, what love for me was shown. Oh, yes. I'm going to be yours, Lord. Whatever happens in Gethsemane, I'm going to be yours. Whatever goes down, I'm going to stand with you, Lord. No matter what, I'm going to stand with you. Yes, in thee alone. Let me do the invitation. Let me do the invitation. Let me just say that if your spirit has been convicted by the Spirit of God, it's time, past time, to respond. There's no better time than now.